Well, welcome to EC Grace. I thank all of you who are live streaming in. We have so many people missing because of sickness, but be praying for your brothers and sisters that they get well. And, you know, a few months ago, I had the Delta variant, as you all were praying for me, had to go to the hospital, get all my antibodies. And I'm like, I'm good to go. And then, boom, Omicron. I'm like, but hey, I'm thankful that God brought me through that, and I'm here today. I'm very thankful last week, Pastor Jacob, for your message, inspiring us in God's word about who Jesus is. He is the life, right? We're here to celebrate Jesus, Jesus Christ. He is our life. And I hope today you're excited to be here in worship, to be in God's word, and hear what God has for us this morning. You see on your screen, Hosea, Wisdom for Our Age. That's the new series starting next week. So I'm asking you to go ahead and read Hosea. Get familiar with the book of Hosea and be praying for that. But right here, I want you to see a snapshot of our journey. As we come to the beginning few weeks of 2022, we've also come to the very end of our series in the book of Acts. Here is every message preached in Acts. Can you remember them all?
Amen.
Wow. You know, this is the longest series I have done. And we started 5 years ago in Joshua, and we moved to Nehemiah and John, and we looked at confidence in trials and Moses and the plan of God and being that first love church that Jesus called the Ephesians to. We looked at James and then the Blessed Life series that all led up to Acts, being the church on the move. That is my heart. That is my desire for us. So I did something I've never done before. I'm finishing up this message. I thought, you know, how much went into this? And I was just looking at what God did in my life. There was 1,320 hours of preparation. Wow. There was 880 printed messages that you all, by your gracious kindness, sat through and heard me preach to you. There was 2,024 slides with almost 6,000 overlays. Wow. And I said to myself, why do I want to share this? Because I want to share it because that's how I was blessed. I was so blessed to be able to do this, so blessed to be in this series, so blessed that it greatly impacted my life. Amen. You can't be doing this if you're not being impacted first. What a privilege. And I want to thank each and every one of you for allowing me the privilege to invest like that. It's just amazing. But I hope and pray that this impacted your life. I hope it impacted you in some way to be on the move for Jesus Christ, to be the church on the move, following the Master. I want that so much. If you ever wonder why I can get a little crazy up here and be so excited up here, it's because of the investment that the Holy Spirit's doing in my life, which is a wonderful privilege from God. It's by His grace. Also, I wanted to share this with you, and what's astonishing to me when looking at these numbers is I didn't feel like we really covered everything in Acts. It was astonishing to me that we could go back, start at Acts again with the same amount of messages and the same amount of slides with all new content. And it reminded me of how deep the Word of God is. We can spend our whole life and never get to the bottom of the Word of God. It's always fresh always knew. And you put this much, and you know, what's also amazing to me is God did this in 28 chapters. We had to bust just parts of it down into 880 pages. I mean, wow. Guys, you can't exhaust God's word. Amen. Be in the word. It's amazing. So if you're new here today or you're streaming in new today, you're going to hear today the last message of Acts. But you're going to get a feel of what we did in Acts, and I hope what the Lord did in us. Today, the message is entitled Gleanings. Gleanings. The hard part has been to go back over 43 messages and not want to preach them all to you again and to pull gleanings from them and make it concise in one message. That's been a challenge. But we're going to look back at this series, I pray, that we will be reminded, that we will remember, and will be on the move for Christ in 2022. Amen. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity you've allowed for me to have the blessing to share your word. I thank you for the impact it made in my life. I thank you, Lord, that we are here gathered together as brothers and sisters in you, Jesus Christ, with the desire to serve you and love you, to follow you, to be your instruments in this world. I pray today, Lord, that you will move in a special way, that you will lay on our hearts what you've called us to do, and that your word will ring true, that our love for you will be loud, that our hearts will overflow with joy. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So let's get started. You ready? First, we're just going to overall do a little summary of chapter 28. Luke, the author of the book of Acts, as we have seen, he has accomplished what he has set out to do. He has given us the record of the spread of Christianity from the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost to Paul's arrival in Rome now, 30 years later, to preach the gospel in the world's capital. Without the book of Acts, think about it. We would never have known how the gospel was first preached to the Jews at Jerusalem and made its way through the Gentiles to Rome. We wouldn't have known. You see, Paul's ministry at Rome is a microcosm of the whole book of Acts here in chapter 28, in which the Jews as a nation continued to reject Jesus Christ as their Messiah, thus now opening that door in the sovereign plan of God to the inclusion of the Gentiles. Amen? That's us. Look at Acts 28, 24 through 28 with me. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul and spoken one parting word. The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears, they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen. There you have it. You see, when the Jews in Rome rejected Paul's message that Paul spoke to them, that one parting word, quoting Isaiah 6, which described the hardening of the Jewish heart, the last straw had been reached, and God's judgment upon the nation was about to fall. In less than 10 years, Rome will destroy Jerusalem and the temple. And the Jews, in less than 10 years, will be scattered and persecuted throughout the world over the next 2,000 years with no homeland. Paul will spend 2 years here in Rome under house arrest with relative freedom, though still chained to a guard, waiting, what, for that appeal to Caesar. And during this time, what's he do? He doesn't sit on his laurels. He continues to faithfully do what God's called him to do. Throughout the book of Acts, he's preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. And during these 2 years, he will write the letters to the Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Luke does not tell us what happened when Paul's case was heard. Perhaps it had not been decided at the time he wrote Acts. Or better yet, do you remember Felix, Festus, Agrippa? They couldn't find any fault with Paul, but they sent him on anyways. Maybe his case was never heard because his accusers never showed up and he was released. But we are not very sure. But we do know he was released. And it seems very clear from the rest of the New Testament that Paul was released in 62 AD. At this time, Paul only has 5 years left to live. He's 5 years away from going home to glory. And during that time, his continued missionary travels. Perhaps we see even to Spain in Romans 15:24, he wrote his last letters, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. In 67 AD, Paul was arrested. He was taken to Rome, and there at Rome, he was executed, and it's believed that he was beheaded. It is here where he wrote his last letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy. Having laid down his life, he says in 2 Timothy 4:7 that he fought the good fight, that he finished his course, that he kept the faith. And Paul vanishes from the scene, and he goes into God's presence. Imagine having the conscience to be able to say those words with real conviction. There is the end in a nutshell. To be able to say these words like Paul, if you can do that when your time on earth is done, then you know you are a servant of Christ on the move following the Master. And that is my hope for us here at EC Grace. Those of you who can't be here today tuning in. For the remainder of our time here this morning, we will now go back over the territory we have covered, and we will gather up gleanings from Acts to remind us of our purpose and encourage us to be the church on the move in 2022. This was the challenge, as I told you. So let's go. I want you to know there's 85 plus slides. I'm going to be doing this. So if you're going to want to write all the notes down, don't. Just come back to the website later or snap some pictures. But I'm going to rock and roll this morning. This was the challenging parcel. Here we go. In 2022, we must never forget that the plan and program from the world today is the church. God's plan is the church for the world today. God's plan is you. It is me, who are used for the Lord to impact the world for His glory. That is what we're here for, to impact the world for God's glory. And His plan and program now is us. It is every brother and sister in Christ throughout the world called the church. And that is what we're here for. You are the salt. You are the light. You are the ambassador. You are the model, the proclaimer, the defender, the disciple. It is you who is the image of Christ in a dark, dark, dying world. Remember this as you live each day in 2022. In 2022, we want to be a church that walks in the steps of Jesus and lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Is that what you want to be? Amen. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit in us. We need to be in His Word and listen to that Word and let it flow out of us. Not only to allow Him to guide us, but allow Him to bring joy into our life. Happiness into our life, to show that to people. The first thing we saw was that since the church is a continuation of what Jesus began to do, we then must be guided by what Jesus began to do and teach. It's only natural. So we saw that His mission must be our mission, to save souls. His ministry must be our ministry, and that is to serve others. His message must be our message, to speak the truth in love, because the world is in desperate need of it. And His means must be our means by the power of the Spirit. I mean, let me ask you, do we need strength to stand against temptation and evil? Well, He gives it. Do we need power for the battles that we are going to face? You can engage with me. Amen. Yes. He gives it. Do we need courage to withstand our trials? Amen. Direction when we cannot find our way. Amen. Hope when clouds darken our skies. How about joy when tears fill our eyes? Counsel when things happen that we cannot comprehend. Comfort when we are deeply hurt and have miserably failed the Lord. And conviction when we have strayed. Do we need these things? He gives it. And when does He give that? He gives that when His people are following His mission, with His ministry, with His message. It is ours all by His means and His purpose through His power, the Holy Spirit. Can we be that in 2022? Do you want to be motivated and say, Lord, I want to be these things for You? Oh, I hope so. I pray that's our heart. In 2022, we want to be a church that manifests love in action. We must love one another, but not just each other. We must love the world. Red, yellow, black, white, success, failure, rich, poor, creed, religion, ethnicity, it doesn't matter. Every single person on this globe is somebody whom Christ has died for. But what does that look like, this love in action? Remember what Paul said, without love in 1 Corinthians 13, we are nothing, and all we do profits nothing. Amen. You see, the first church of Jerusalem was a separated, learning, caring, witnessing, praying, and rejoicing church. The motivation for that was love. The love they had received from Jesus Christ, the love they had for the Lord, which transferred to others. They were separated from the sins of the world, and they stood out like a sore thumb. They were constantly learning, caring, witnessing, praying, and rejoicing. The first church was a church displaying this love in action that motivated it to gladly suffer persecution, to walk separately from the world, to care sacrificially for one another and the lost, to witness boldly, because when they saw people, they saw somebody that Jesus loves and they wanted them to have what they had. people who prayed fervently, and they rejoiced constantly. This was the character trait, the definition of the early church, all motivated by love. You see, love must be the motive for all we do. If it's not, the motives have error in them. You know, I tell you all the time, I love you. I love you guys. And I know you love me. When you're out and about and you see people, do you love them? Do you love them? Can we have love for Jesus and others as our motive in 2022? Can we do it? Next, we see in 2022, we want to be a church that makes prayer first and foremost in all we do. Remember, the early church was a praying church, not only individually, but the emphasis in Acts was praying collectively. There's power in prayer. The leadership was devoted to prayer, and so were the people. Remember, in Colossians 4:2, Paul instructed the church to devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, that attitude of gratitude, remember? Devote yourselves as a church to prayer and be alert in that prayer. We just saw that the means to their strength, power, courage, hope, joy, direction, comfort, counsel, and conviction came through the Holy Spirit's power. Short of being in the Word every day, the pathway for the Spirit is through prayer, people. It's through prayer. It breaks my heart when we see the church collectively put such a low emphasis on prayer, especially when we provide you Zoom. It's not just here. Statistically, it's in every church in the United States of America. Why? We saw that the early church prayer was paramount. Think about what that means. I'm going to devote myself to something. You see, prayer was not their last resort, everybody, when facing trials. It was their first response. They prayed mightily, earnestly, and humbly, believing that for God, nothing is impossible. What are our expectations of Almighty God? Do you believe that with God there's nothing impossible? You remember, you heard it in Sunday school this morning. You heard it in last Sunday's message with Pastor Jacob. We can believe God's word. Everything God says, we can believe. And if God says that he wants to do his will in your life, don't you think we can believe in prayer to think the amazing, the impossible for the God, the possible for the God of the impossible? But you know what I've learned? Prayer starts here. The fact of the matter is people just don't care. They don't care enough. And we got to say, Lord, where is that heart in me, that first love heart that wants to come to you in prayer and empty myself of my brothers and sisters to be kingdom praying, to be praying for souls, praying for ministry, praying for the nation. You see, he can melt hearts. He can transform lives no matter how bound by the chains of sin. He can bring revivals, and he can rekindle the flames of devotion out of the ashes of indifference in our churches and our homes. By the way, everybody, this just came to me. I'm just going to share with you. When I'm here praying on Wednesday night, I see all the Facebook posts that's going on during prayer while you're home. So does everybody else. Why? We have to say, what are we doing? Why? When we have the opportunity to come and kneel before the throne in the very presence of God. You see, the early church, they ask big, but they bow low. And I am standing up here before you humble. There was a time in my life, my wife will tell you, she's tuning in because she's not feeling well, that she used to beg me to come to Wednesday night back in my early 20s. You all know those days when I wasn't following Christ very well. I've been there. But boy, has grace and intercessors transformed me. What a joy it is to be praying for people, praying for our nation, allowing God to give us His heart and His mind. You see, they ask big, but they also bow humbly to His wills and ways, whatever they may be, because they trusted Him completely with this prayer from the heart, Lord, Thy will be done. And though we know Thy will be done, we need to ask big in great anticipation for what God can not only do in your life, but what He can do in this church, and what He can do in our communities, and what He can do in Indianapolis, and what He can do in the United States of America. Because God is not dead. God is alive, and He is yours. He's our Savior. So I'm going to ask you like I've never asked you before, please, oh please, like the early church, let's be a church of prayer. Let's pray together. Let's come together in unity, in prayer for one another. You see, it changes your heart to Christ's heart. It will have massive impact in this church. Massive impact in the kingdom, our city, our community, in fact, your very life. As your pastor, I am pleading with you. I am begging you to get involved in the prayer ministry here at EC Grace. I am begging you on behalf of the Lord to take that prayer as the most serious thing we do. It's the litmus test of our heart. If you can do it, please. I understand for some of you, you can't be there. In 2022, also guess what? We must not think Satan is going to give up. Therefore, we learned in Acts that we must be on the alert, we must pray at all times, and we must fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, because we saw and we know that Satan goes to church as well, and his goal is to kill you. His goal is to demoralize, destroy, discourage, distract, derail, and divide, and we will not give him a foothold. And prayer is paramount. In 2022, we want to be a church that thrives in personal time in God's Word every day. You see, as a church on the move, we want to fellowship daily with the Lord. You see, you cannot be in the Word daily without the Lord having the ability to mold you more and more into His image. You will start to think like Christ, speak like Christ, live like Christ, look like Christ, living in the joy of your salvation, becoming the useful vessel He created you to be, the good works He's already planned beforehand in your life. God's Word is paramount to your spiritual soul, and I plead with you to be in it every day. Remember, you can't hang around Jesus the Son for any length of time without it showing that you have been with Jesus the Son. You see, when you spend time with the Son, people will know you have been with the Son. Hey, I spent too much time on the beach. You know I've been in the sun all day. You see, it's not your education that matters to the Lord. It is our dedication to the Lord. prayer and being in the Word, our dedication to the Lord. For when you walk with Jesus and listen to Jesus and seek Jesus and love Jesus, Jesus is going to rub off on you. Right on? Hey, hey. His views, his values, his priorities, his heart, his commands, and his passion will become yours. We need Christians today whose lives, whose characters, whose values, and confidence demonstrate that they have been with Jesus Christ. My word. God's word. Which moves us to our next leaning. When we are praying and when we are in his word, being like Christ, in 2022, we will be a church that continues to reaffirm these two truths without apology, all to the glory of God. Christ alone and Scripture alone. That's it. We saw that the early church courageously took their stand on two truths, that Christ alone is the only Savior of the world and salvation is only through him. And Scriptures alone as their only guide in the world. They saw Scripture as one's sole authority. Don't you love Scripture? It is the light unto your path. These, amongst others, set the early church apart from the world. But you know what else it did? It endeared them to God. It endeared them to God, who then worked mightily through them. I want to be endeared to God. I want to be pleasing to the Lord. Do you want Jesus to be looking down on you or being right with you? Imagine him. Do you ever imagine him with a smile on his face, looking at your life? I want to be endeared to the Lord. So never apologize for the truth of God's word that the world calls narrow-minded, because it is that soul truth that sets men free. For when we are prayer warriors, when we are Jesus sunbathers, Scripture word yielders for the kingdom, in 2022, we are going to face opposition to Christianity and the gospel. So let's stand and live for our Lord's applause, not the world's. We saw that in Acts. We will never regret, my friends, never regret whatever sacrifice Jesus may call of us. We will more likely regret that we did not do more for him, I would imagine. We saw in the lives of individuals within the book of Acts, and we saw many individuals within the book, the kind of people that God wants us to be and the type of people that God can make what he wants them to be for his glory. We saw all kinds of people, but we're going to close today by looking at three of them. Let's just look at three. First, do you remember Stephen, the first martyr of the church? Stephen, who had not only the face of an angel, why? To adorn the doctrine. That means to make the truth palatable and beautiful. He stood before his accusers with an angel face. Boy, but did he let out the truth in love. God wanted us to see his heart, for he had an angel face. But Stephen, who not only had the face of an angel to adorn the doctrine, he also had the heart of a lion to courageously go forth and proclaim the truth at all costs. And the truth was his life. The cost was his life. I loved how the Scripture so beautifully showed the heart of Stephen, the love of Stephen, and an attitude of love for his accusers. yet a heart of courage so boldly to share the full truth with them that made them so angry, they stoned him to death. We must be like Stephen. For Stephen lived a life, you remember, of no reserves. He went all out for the Lord, lived a life of no reserves. He lived a life of no retreats when facing even death for the Lord. And he lived a life of no regrets for any sacrifice that he made for the Lord. We must, as a church on his mission, live a life of no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets, with a face of an angel and a heart of a lion. As Stephen's stoning, do you remember? The heavens opened, as you recall, revealing our Lord standing as if applauding. Do you remember Jesus? It's the only time we read of him standing. It was like he was saying, yes, Stephen. Yes, Stephen. I'm bringing you here shortly. But yes, no retreats. Yes, my mission. Yes, you love me. Yes, I love you. I'm so proud of you. Come on up here, Stephen. I've got you. No regrets. And he brought him into his arms. Oh my, we can live like that. We can live like that. We must redeem the Lord, time the Lord has given us. So live 2022 for him with no reserves, no retreats, and no regrets. Because this could be the very last year we have here. We're not promised this whole year. We're not promised today. Love one another. Love your spouse in Christ. Love your children in Christ. Be that godly example in the world. Love your Lord and be in his word. Love him and be in prayer. Have a mind of eternal mindedness with God's eternal vision, living your life in light of eternity. You won't regret it. This may be the end. Wow. In a song by Billy Walker, the lyrics go, in the time that you gave me, did I give all I could give? Did I love all I could love? Did I live all I could live? Did I do all I could do in the time that you gave me? In the time that you gave me, did I face the devil down? Did I make him turn away every time I stood my ground? If today is the day the Lord should decide to take me, could I say I did all I could do in the time that he gave me? What a song. The second person we're going to look at is Mark. Remember Mark, where we saw that with God, praise God, there is hope for failures. I think we as normal people resonate with Mark very well. How many of you have ever failed the Lord? Oh. Remember, Mark deserted Paul, but many years later, it was Mark that Paul asked to come to him, to minister to him in his great time of need. How remarkable. And don't you praise God that he chose to record that for us? Yes. To give us that hope when we fail? You see, the Lord, remember, he used Barnabas to mentor and disciple him while Paul went on to continue the work. Mark wasn't ready for the work at that time and had failed, and Barnabas took him and invested in his life. You see, we must be investing in people's lives. God used Mark tremendously for the kingdom and even had him write one of the four Gospels. So I want you to remember something in 2022. Our failures don't define us by changing our identity, but give the Lord opportunity to mold us for eternity. Amen? Mark is the remarkable. He is the remarkable example that no matter how you have failed in the past, you can always begin again with God with a repentant heart. For God will be faithful to forgive you. And you can always begin again with God for the rest of your life. It grieves me and pains me when I hear believers get paralyzed in what God wants to do in their life because they can't forgive themselves of the sins of their past. When Jesus died for all those sins, forgives them. Do you remember what Jesus does with your sins? He casts them behind your back, his back. He casts them as far as the east is from the west. He throws them into the depths of the sea. He chooses to remember them no more. And he cleanses you from all unrighteousness and forgives you. So remember Mark when you let God down. Remember him. Seek his forgiveness and he will restore you. In 2022, also remember that if you should stumble, you have not yet failed. Unless you fail to get up, unless you fail to repent, unless you fail to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit, unless you fail to return to the Lord, because it's not God who's failing you, it's us who's failing the Lord. And he says, I will forgive you. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? You see, God's call on you is not ended until God calls you home. And I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? I'm ready to go. In 2022, let's never give up seeking souls and praying for souls. Never give up praying, everybody, and never write anyone off as impossible to be saved. Many of you are here who need encouragement that your loved ones need to know Christ is their Lord and Savior. Don't give up. Don't give in. Many of you know people we've been praying for a long time to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Don't stop praying. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop, because God can save anyone. He can redeem anyone. This is the very heart of Jesus. Never give up on souls. The very reason we just celebrated Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, the Redeemer of the world. And this brings us to our third person, the Apostle Paul, whose life and ministry make up most of Acts. What an encouragement we have here in Paul, whose life and ministry, what did he do before that? He was a persecutor of the church. What an encouragement we have that God can save anybody. God can transform any life. Don't ever write anybody off. Don't look at somebody and prejudge them as incapable of salvation. Don't profile anybody into lostness where they have no ability to be saved. Wow. You know, when Jesus was talking about being saved and the camel entering through the eye of the needle, and he was talking about entering the kingdom. Do you remember what he said in Matthew 19, 25 through 26? When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. See, that is the key. Think about it. We are called to go to a world that is dead in their sins, blind to the gospel, under the power of Satan. Jesus described us this way in Luke 10:3. I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. I don't know about you, but I would never be a fan of a lamb defeating wolves. I mean, that's not a fair fight. In fact, that is not a fight. That's called a slaughter. I mean, I'm a sports guy. I literally do not know of any teams that say, and here come your lambs. Does anyone name their sport team the Lambs? We're all like sheep that have gone astray. Lambs are not smart. Lambs are one of the dumbest creatures God has created. They are weak, and they are prone to wander. We are fighting our own sin natures, and we are called to win souls. Wow. I got to do this. I'm your ambassador. I'm a lamb. And you're sending me out amongst wolves. You see, truly, truly, with people such as us, this is impossible. But not with God, who goes before us and with us. With God, the impossible is possible. And that is why salvation is by His grace alone, to His glory alone. It is God who gets all the glory in salvation, not us. We are His instruments. We are His mouthpiece. In 2022, let's live our lives transformed by our Lord, as was the Apostle Paul's. You see, when you live the abundant life, when you live the transformed life, the world will sit up. The world will take notice, and they will listen when they see genuine, authentic Christianity. But the world will not be impressed with us by a form of Christianity that lacks the power of God, that cannot even impact and transform those who claim to know Christ, because the world is in them. We need to impact the world for Christ. See, if we are conformed, and if we are formed to the world rather than transformed by the Lord, Romans 12, 1 and 2, we will never have the impact in the world and on the world that Jesus wants us to have. And you start seeing now this layering of going back at the beginning of Acts to being about His mission, and you start seeing how all this starts layering, fitting together. Can we do this? Hey, I need to even bring Kim back here today and get him up here and get some smiling faces. Yes, he can. Are you thankful that he can use you to do that?
Amen.
But guess what? Not only did we see in Paul an encouragement that God can save and transform any life, we also saw in Paul an example of a life dedicated to the Lord. We saw in Paul that the praise of men never swayed him from giving all glory to God. We saw that the stones of men never stopped him from serving the Lord. We saw that the unbelief of men never silenced him from speaking and proclaiming Jesus Christ. And we saw that the persecutions of men never robbed him of his joy in the Lord. They never stole the joy of Christ in him. You know, what we saw in Acts has not changed for the church on the move today. You see, in 2022, we must stay on alert from false teachers. We must be taking advantage of every opportunity. We must continually teach and preach the Word of God, the truth. And we must major on discipleship. We must major on winning people to Christ, making disciples, and discipling them to be what God's called them to be, to observe all that He's commanded, that we might faithfully win souls for Christ and pass on the gospel to the next generation, because we are the generation that must pass it on to the next. Nothing has changed, because remember this, we have the Word of His grace. You have everything you need at your disposal through the grace of Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, our key to victory in Jesus is to get as close to the God of glory as we can and get as deep into the Word of God's grace as we can. Remember that. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Let's do this together. We can do it. We can do it with the Lord's power. If you remember, we must be yielded to the Holy Spirit's control. Lastly, and I love this in Acts, we saw God is faithful. Our God is faithful. He will build his church, and he will bring the church and each one of us who love and serve him safely through the storms of this life, and by his grace, safely through to heaven's shores. That should bring us great encouragement. Wow. For 2022, we have the privilege. Think of this. We have the privilege to be part of God's only program to save the world. We have the message for the world. We have the very truth of God by his grace. Let me tell you something. Knowing that, oh yes, there is a hell to shun, but there's a heaven to gain. There is a devil that kills, but there's a Savior that saves. There is a world of hatred, but there is a God who loves. There is sin that abounds, but a grace greater than all sin. We have a purpose to live for. We have a Bible we can trust. And we have a gospel and Savior worth dying for. Do we have something to share? Do we have something to proclaim? Man, oh man, I'm excited for 2022. I want to be a church on a move. I want to be a praying church, a going church, a loving church, a Christ-centered church, a Bible-preaching church, a truth-preaching church, a church that is a battleship for the Lord, for his purpose, winning souls and letting God build us into his image. What other reason is there for us to live? Let's praise him, and let's be encouraged. And let's take this gospel, this word of encouragement that Paul says, that they might know our joy of salvation through our faith in Jesus Christ, that we are saved by grace. So, as you leave today, remember this line. Go be a joy dispenser and an encouragement maker through Christ to the world that needs him. Right on. Here at EC Grace, let's continue to be a church on the move. Let's continue to be salt and light in a dying world till Jesus comes or we go to him. Will you join me in that? Can we do that? Amen. I want to close this series with the hymn you all know. Please stand.